Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamecast, episode 695. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gast, joined by Mike Sneedy.
What's up?
Corey Fineside.
Ahoy!
And Tony Korkanakis.
Hello!
Welcome, guys. Welcome, listeners and viewers. We're live on Twitch, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Please join us for these conversations. We just finished up the movie cast. We do that first, usually. YouTube has all the content if you miss these live broadcasts, though, so subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and we appreciate it. All right, guys. Gamecast 695 now. We just talked about Deadpool. Go check out the movie cast if you didn't see it. What have you been playing? So kick us off, Corey. Anything?
Well, making progress through Final Fantasy VII still.
Okay, good.
So slowly, slowly. But
what chapter are you on?
Seven, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Keep checking on, bud.
Yeah. No, it's
not very far, I guess.
It's halfway, I think. It's halfway through the game. But some chapters are longer than others. Like, six was a pretty short one, I think.
What chapter seven? What are you doing?
I'm on this, like, I was at a mountain, and I had, like, there's, like, you're playing as the ninja throwing stars and at boxes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a halfway, maybe a little bit more than halfway.
Okay. Yeah, so, no, it's great. Combat, the thing about that is the combat is so good. Like, it's a lot of fun. You can switch between characters, you can change tactics, and sometimes you have to. Like, depending on certain bosses you fight or certain enemies, you want to have certain abilities in play, certain characters at play, and sometimes you want the computer to be somebody else because you don't want to be... you just want them to be focused on whatever they're doing and things. So I like that part of it a lot. And the story's been pretty decent. It's just a little slow going right now in the middle, but I think it's building up to something. So that's why.
Yeah, after this next section, you'll get to a part that I think was improved from the source material. So.
Oh, cool. Oh, excited, Ben.
There are some parts in the original seven I was like, I'm curious to how they're going to handle that because it's a little icky.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, but that's that, and then obviously a lot of Star Wars.
TCG. Yeah, the card game.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I picked up New Vegas last week while we were on the podcast. I never played that, so I did load that up on my Steam Deck. I played a little bit of that so far this week. Not much played though for myself. Mm-hmm. So not much talk. It does remind me though how much I loved Fallout 3. This game does have that kind of similar charm in the beginning, at least. Like, I remember that from 4. Like, I never got that instant fun vibe for some reason. I just didn't get that. Like, there's something about... I can't put my finger exactly on the feel of it. But, like, 3 and I guess even New Vegas has, like, this factor, vibe. Like, this charm. Yeah. Something about it just is a completely different vibe than I got from 4. So, you know, I just have that right away. As soon as I went in there, I was like, okay, this feels like 3 to me. Like, this feels good. Like,
This feels good. Mm-hmm. Fuck 4. I mean, that's funny, like, so many people are like been talking to me like, hey, which one should I play? And I'm like, well,
you want to start at the top or the bottom?
Yeah, it's like, do you want to go in reverse or do you want to go from
bad? Do you want to have a better experience as you're going through these games or a worse experience?
Yeah. I think 4 is a better starting point for a lot of people though, because it's dumbed down, but it's prettier and it's more modern. So, and then if they really like Fallout, then they can go into the more nitty gritty older ones.
I don't think they'll like 4 if they start with it. I don't think they'll like Fallout if they start with 4.
I think people like 4 if they don't have any expectations for what Fallout is.
It's going to be, that'll be an interesting experiment, but it's also like you're saying, do you want to put them on a game that you're in a series that you know is not as good and then be like, all right, it gets better from here? Do people have the time to like do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like a movie or TV show.
They'll be like, why do I keep having to fucking help these settlements? I don't want to do this anymore. It's like, welcome.
To help the settlements.
And then there's 76. I mean, what do you want to do with 76?
Actually,
it's getting better and better.
I was blown up too. Going to there, but
What was the stat for that game? It was up how much?
Million new users.
Million new users. Jesus. This show.
Good boy. Gave his thumbs up.
Yeah, two. And like we mentioned in the movie cast, too bad we have to wait, you know, a decade for the next Fallout game because we have to wait still for the next Elder Scrolls game, which, well, we don't even need another Elder Scrolls. Everyone could just play their porn mods of Skyrim over and over again, like forever. And they buy it 18 times. Who cares? Screw Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
No. Elder Scrolls is their baby. Like, they, people would riot if they were like, yeah, we're not doing Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. I mean,
should skip it.
I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously, they didn't know that Fallout was going to have the rejuvenation that it had from this show. No, nobody did. Amazon released, as we said on the movie cast, they released all the episodes at once. Didn't sound like they were that confident in it, and now it's just huge. And the press, like, just the press, like, that the game that universe is getting, like we had mentioned on the movie cast, the streaming of the music, the game's interest is crazy. It's impressive. Yeah, thank you for joining us, Chiro, by the way. Thank you for comments in there. I mean, three New Vegas are clearly the people's favorites. Just chiming here myself. I feel like for myself, I've always, like, I've seen one and two. I was working when they were out. I believe two was probably.
They were much different games.
Though. Yeah, much different games. But three is where I started this series. And, like, that's the one that's just, it. Like, it's funny because I make fun of four and I never played New Vegas, right? So I have one Fallout game as my reference game. But it's so impactful that I love the universe immediately. Like, I just love it. I love the idea of it. Like, that's how good it was.
You got the best version of that game,
yeah, too. Yeah, and I got the right version of that, yeah. Yeah,
with broken steel attached?
Yep, yep. I had the whole Game of the Year pack. I had the whole Game of the Year. I got to play the whole thing, and I went and did all the side stuff. And that was a game I went, like, I did everything in that game, which happens very few times for me for games. And that's why it was so impactful. But New Vegas has that feel, at least. So it's a toss-up between what you would start with. I would tell people to start with Fallout 3, though. Because it's like, if you get through that game, absolutely love it. You can forgive things from other games, I guess. But I would say Fallout 3 myself to start with in that argument. So that's that. New Vegas for me. That's really it so far. I didn't have much time to game this week. So, Tony?
So I finally dove into Unicorn Overlord, and
nice.
Yeah, that game is fantastic.
Cool.
It's really scratching the tactical strategy itch, but almost too much. The way it works out, it
feels good at the beginning, and then it's like, wait, slow down.
what I like about it is, like, the customization and the gameplay is so deep in terms of, like, it's not like a tactics style game, right? It's not like Final Fantasy Tactics, and it's not even like Fire Emblem where, like, you directly control what your characters are doing. It's more like the series called Ogre Battle or Ogre Battle 64 from Nintendo 64, where you form a squad, right? And you could put whatever units you want in that squad, and then based on, like, what you literally program. Like, the squad will perform certain actions and moves depending on what you told them to do. They could be like, hey, my archer, you can literally go into your archer's, I'm trying to think of a good word for it, AI or, like, decision tree making, where it's like, hey, archer, if you see an enemy flying unit, you prioritize them and you fucking attack them above anybody else. Doesn't matter if that boss is at 1 HP. I want you to prioritize a flying unit first, right? So you can go in there and do that. And then you could be like, yo, the mage. If there's a mage, I want you to prioritize, like, armored units, right? Because they're good against, like, sword fighters and stuff like that, but they're weak to mage and stuff like that. So you kind of, like, got to juggle, like, optimally programming your units to have these parameters. So, like, and once you get into a battle, you just, it automatically plays out. So you'll see, like, depending on initiative, like, units will go and do certain moves. So you're like, okay, yeah, okay. And it's like, that's according to Keikaku, or, you know, plan, where it's like, yes, like, my squad's awesome. But then when they fight a squad that, like, they're not programmed to handle, it's just like, you guys are so dumb. Like, why do you keep going after this guy? And then you're like, okay, hold up. I gotta redo this, right? So I like that aspect, but if it was only 5 to 10 units I had to worry about, I wouldn't have an issue. But, like, I'm at 25 plus units now. I'm like, it's a lot, right?
A lot of management.
And for the most part, you could just hit a button where it's like, optimize. And it's like, the game just optimizes for you. But there are some cases where I'm like, my squad should be able to take care of this. Why isn't it working? And then I got to spend, like, a minute or two going in and be like, all right, you prioritize this dude, you prioritize this, and then you do it, and you're like, yeah, it works. Great, perfect, and stuff like that. So, wonderful game, great graphics, stories, you know, okay, and stuff like that. The voice acting, you know, I want to praise the English dub in both this and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but man, we are spoiled these days with English dubs. Like, we have come a long way, so it's not just like, you know, the 90s, obviously, or the 00s, but like even a decade ago, like, English dubs are just not this good. So,
No, the Final Fantasy dub is fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, I used to be a purist and be like, no, I'll just listen to Japanese. Or it's like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to read so much. I'll just listen. Something like that. So, great game.
Okay, cool. All right, Mike?
Well, I've been playing my, you know, sports games, the show, and the golf game. But I also was feeling the desire to go into Fallout as well. And I was on the fence about which game to go into, but the ending, something about the ending of the show pointed me in the direction of
New Vegas.
I can't imagine why, but I did play a little bit of it again, and now I'm at Prim right now, which is like basically the second settlement you go to usually, and you know, I'm remembering I put so much time in this. I did it on Game Pass, and, you know, luckily my Xbox remembers that I bought, like, all of the expansions as well, so they're all downloaded, too. And, yeah, it's funny because I remember I actually went to Vegas, like, after having played this game. Like, this is 14 years ago. And I remember seeing, like, oh, Prim's a real city? Like, stuff like that. Like all these names of stuff in the area. I'm like, oh, these are real places around here? And so it'll be interesting to see, because now I've been to Vegas twice or three times since then, what I recognize or know now that about the geographical area that, you know, I recognize. But, yeah, we'll see how long. I don't know if I'm going to really stick with this. Again, because, you know, there's a lot to do. But so far, yeah, I went into it for almost on a whim, and I've been in there for hours. So that's the Fallout magic. I mean, I probably put more hours in this game than any other one. Like you, I started with Fallout 3, then went to New Vegas and 4. I like them all, really, but they all sort of bring something a little different in my mind. But yeah, New Vegas probably has the most flexibility. I don't understand why there's a karma system. Does it even matter in this game? Because it tells you, like, you lose, like, I stole stuff because, fuck it, I'm starting over. I stole stuff from people I'm nice to, but overall I did. My big deeds outweigh my petty theft, I assume, and it seemed like they did, but it still tells me I'm losing karma for stealing stuff from good guys. But it also only seems to track, really, you know, affinity for each group, so I don't know if karma matters at all.
If I recall correctly, there are certain groups where, and even NPCs and stuff like that, where if you're too one way or the other, they, you know, will or won't like you or, you know, whatever, so it can tells you that lock you out of...
Yeah. I think it tells you that in the beginning.
And the other thing, I remember reading a, because everyone's playing these games again now, and, like, one of the creators or programmers, like, it was just a headline that said, like, he wants you to try Caravan. But I tried to play Caravan, and I don't fucking understand it. I'm not going to do that. Did anyone ever play Caravan in this game? Because it makes no sense.
What's Caravan? Is it the...
It's the card game where you have to have, like, a set of three cards, like playing cards, set up in a certain way, and then you match or fight. I really don't understand it. I tried to play it, and then it gives you a holotape that's really just, like, a bunch of text trying to explain this. I'm like, no. No. But, whatever. Okay. Caravan. Right. I'm on. It's interesting, but no.
All right, let's talk. There's two big things in the news this week. We'll start with the Embracer Group. Embracer Group has gone through some obviously horrible year so far, And it looks like now they're going to, they're deciding after selling off some properties, obviously, with Gearbox and, why am I blanking on the other name? They're big IPs, the big properties they sold off, but they're going to split into three companies. So Gear, Embracer Group has announced going to go to three separate company entities. Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. So each
letting
group,
go of their Embrace.
Yeah, that's what it was. Saber Interactive they sold. But yeah, so the CEO Lars obviously wants to remain long term and active. I'm sure he's getting a nice bonus for this. And I guess each one will deal with its own thing. So, like, for instance, Asmodee is a tabletop publisher. Coffee Stain and Friends will focus on indie and double A, single A premium games, free to play games for PC, console, and mobile. Middle Earth Enterprises will focus on the AAA game development with its properties such as Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider that it has. And, you know, so their board game company that has a lot of great IPs, Game of Thrones.
Well, Asmodee or whatever. Yeah. I think I said Asmodee. It might be Asmodee. I don't know. That's very big news for the board game tabletop side of things because they are basically they were just buying up everything that they possibly could as far as tabletop
Star
stuff
Wars.
Goes. And they, the announcement was like a lot of jargon and like financial talk without saying anything whatsoever. they didn't say anything. They didn't tell you anything. It's just like, what the heck is, like, what are you talking about here? But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it impacts the tabletop scene a little bit. But, yeah, they did a lot of spending, and they're paying, now they're paying for it because they can't afford to.
Yeah, they overspent. Oh. Stupid. So, yeah, there's some good IPs, though. There, Catan, Exploding Kittens, there's some good stuff that they own. But, yeah, I mean, that company just overspent. It's just badly mismanaged, but guess what?
Yeah,
guess who's going to get rewarded for this? Yeah. Very.
They came out with some interview with him today where he was I deserve a fair share of that blame. And I'm like, who else would? Like, who else
deserves
the blame?
Yeah. Who are you sharing it with?
And he's like, sometimes the CEO has to accept responsibility. I'm like, what do you mean sometimes? When
you're going to take all the praise, you got to also take all the hate. I mean, when stuff goes right, you're going to be all over that. When stuff goes wrong, you're going to have to be all over that also.
Like, this is a dude that should absolutely be in, like, a private plane with Zaslav.
Oh, yeah. I bet you're the best buds.
And, you know, again, something happens to him.
Things crash all the time.
Well, again,
your dicks could fall off. I'm fine with that.
We do not. As a podcast, we also don't have the same views and opinions of everybody. You know, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views. I got to read that whole disclaimer, but I would not lose sleep over that. That's all I'm saying.
Would not lose sleep if they lost their dicks.
Jesus. All right. Let's
go. Honestly, I don't think they'd really care that much if they lost their dicks. I think they'd care more if they lost their money.
It's more about the money for them. I mean, like I said, they're getting nice bonuses. You know that they are. You know they both get nice bonuses. So
They'll buy those cyber dick replacements anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, I can get robo dick now anyway.
All right. Nintendo Indie Showcase was that last week? Just about towards the end. Thursday, right? It was Thursday. When did it happen?
At any time.
That sounds right. Did you watch it?
No. I didn't watch it. I just watched some highlights of stuff. So you're going to be helping us out with leading what was announced.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I just assumed you did. Well, they announced the Turtles game there.
Yeah, that's what I took from it.
Yeah, so we have the trailer of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate, which is a roguelike Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. That was the big one that I saw on there that I wanted to talk about. I didn't know something else. But game looks good. I mean, it looks kind of cool, right?
Turtles Hades, so
yeah, Turtles Hades. I can't go wrong with that, can you? I mean, really?
It looks pretty cool. I'm a little. I was more high on it at first, then I realized it's a mobile port, and then I also realized that they said you can play cooperatively online, but they didn't mention anything about local, which leads me to believe you probably can't.
There's no local.
Yeah.
No. So that's coming this July, which is awesome. timed exclusive for Switch. And it, yeah, each turtle controls plays a little differently. They all have their own super power-ups. You build your characters like power-ups throughout the missions until you clear it. But they reset like what are supposed to, obviously, and you lose most of that stuff. I guess you can get these things called artifacts that you would keep to keep leveling your
permanent upgrades. Yep,
permanent upgrades. So yeah, roguelike.
Just like Hades.
Yep, just like Hades.
No, it's still something I'm very interested in.
Obviously. I mean, I think it looks fun. I think it looks good. I'll check it out.
Definitely. Yeah, I got good reviews last year, and you know, not specifically against you, Mike, but I mean, mobile games are not what you think they are these days. Like, one of the biggest games in the world is Genshin Impact, and
it's amazing.
You watch Genshin Impact and you'd be like, wow, well, it looks decent. And then you're like, yeah, it's a mobile game. Be like, oh,
yeah.
You wouldn't even know. Might not like even realize said, like it.
In our chat, you're like, I can't believe that was a mobile game. So we'll see. Yeah, interesting. We'll see what comes out of it. The rest of it, like, you know, I didn't really, like I said, watch the presentation, but Cat Quest 3, August 8th is coming out. Sorry. So, no, I don't know. I the indie stuff is, you know, I don't really like go out and look for it too much myself, but until people talk about it. Yars Rising, which is a side-scrolling action adventure. Yars Revenge. Version of Yars Revenge. That was announced. That was good. So, I don't know. There's some stuff that we'll see how it comes out. And we'll see how it goes. But the Turtles game was probably the biggest one from that whole thing. That we'll see how that does on the Switch. And I'm interested in it. Because, like I said, I haven't played it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be
important on that one. Just because Hades 2 is launching in Early Access. So, I feel like they really need to get that out before that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so they're like, hey, Early Access. Not going to look good for the Turtles.
No, it's a bad mix. Bad timing for that.
I think they're drawing from a different group of fans, I think.
Oh,
IP is just Turtles IP, you know?
No, for sure, for sure. But, you know, there's going to be some non-zero number of people where it's like, I've got $30. Do I buy the Turtles game or I buy the sequel to, you know, Game of the Year contender, you know, multiple award winner, you know, first sequel ever for
Supergiant.
Thank you. It's like
I'll never play that game.
Hades, it's a great game.
It's a great game.
Great game. Yeah, you should you should play it. Like, that's a game kind of game that I think is actually right up your alley. Like, I think you'd enjoy that because there's so much. Well, you like
Sifu, so
yeah. Like that's a game like you would. I like. There's no question.
Valhalla.
No question. The replayability of it definitely rewards
skill also.
Yeah. So. The replayability of it. That's the idea. Like, that's what you like. You like to, you know, I mean, there's so much to do in it. So yeah, I don't know. Like those style games. Mike, I think you should really check it out, but
maybe this turtle game the Turtles will come into. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the Turtles one gets you in there. Mike will become Mike will become the I hate open world games where he just likes all roguelike games and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never really had a strong opinion about roguelikes, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. So, all right, anything else in the news I missed? I don't think so. Not much going on this week in gaming world. No? All right.
We could check it out. Go live here and just make sure.
Hey, double check the old Twitter or whatever you guys get your news from. TikTok these days. I don't know where these kids are getting news from. So,
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 was revealed. Oh, you guys into that?
No. So, all right.
Larian confirms that they're working on two projects.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. You know, they also had the Baldur's Gate patch come out. So, better villain endings?
Yeah, they're patching endings, but they're not going to ever make a sequel. So, it's interesting.
No, but the new IPs, that'd be good. The new properties, so.
Yeah, right, and I think Wizards of the Coast is shopping around for somebody to develop Baldur's Gate 4 because, you know, who knew? They like money.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, probably capitalize on this.
Big shock. So,
and right. Stellar Blade's uncensored release in Japan prompts criticism of rating system.
Not surprised.
Yeah, I think the Japanese president of the EA division over there was like, how is this passing? So, in Japan, the equivalent of ESRB is called the CERO,
C-E-R-O. C-E-R-O.
Yeah.
And if any game gets a zero rating of like
V,
yeah, it's just
v, like
zero, it's like a death zero. Kiss. Like
it's like AO.
Yeah, it's 18 like AO. Plus. It's AO. Yeah. It's like no game will sell. So like Dead Space, for example, could not be released in Japan because
it gets a Z rating.
Yeah, it got the Z rating. So it was just like, and that's what he criticized. He's like, so Dead Space got a, you know,
Z rating, Z,
but Stellar Blade is not. So
what is it? Are we talking about beheadings or just that this chick is like pretty much both. Naked? Like, what is it?
Both.
Okay. It's both.
Because they don't like, I know they don't like beheadings over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although they do it sometimes, so I'm confused by that. But
no, they're more worried about gore.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. I think it's going to wrap up the episode then, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, we are live on Twitch Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. If you miss these live broadcasts, we're over on YouTube. Subscribe to both channels so you get, you know, the notifications when we go live and when we post our content over on YouTube. So that's going to wrap it up this week, guys. Once again, we will see you next week. We are out.